because I have resisted it for a very long time. But baptism is something that does not save, but it is something that the Lord put down here as an ordinance, a picture of what does save us. When Jesus came, he came to offer himself as the sacrifice for men's sins. And his shed blood and his torn flesh and his life was offered up on a cross for our sins. After he had led a perfect life and died, he was buried with our sins. And then he was resurrected from the dead to become our justification before God. What Jesus did was to picture, when he was baptized by John, what he was going to do to break the yoke of bondage that men were held under by his life going forward, by dying, by being buried in the earth, and by being resurrected. So baptism has never saved anyone, and it never will. But it does picture what Jesus did to save us all, and it is an ordinance that God placed in the church so that after you had put your faith in a resurrected Christ and his blood and the offering of his flesh for your sins, after you were justified by faith in his blood and his life, his sacrifice, that you might go to the world, that you believe in his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And that's what baptism is. It's a picture of your faith that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died after having lived a perfect life, was resurrected from the dead, and you've put all your faith in a resurrected Christ who's going to be your intercessor forever in heaven and who will never leave you nor forsake you. Before Christ came, God sent a man named John. In Malachi, in the Old Testament, he prophesied he would send this man who would be the messenger. He would be a messenger for the messenger of the covenant. And the messenger of the covenant and the one who came and fulfilled it was Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ came to John to be baptized. If ever a man was perfect, it was Jesus Christ, and he was perfect. So here is the Son of God, absolutely perfect, coming to a man who wasn't perfect to be baptized of him. But that man was sent by God, and he had the authority from God to baptize. And that authority was given to John. The word Baptist simply means immerser. John the immerser. He was the only man on earth that had the authority to baptize, and he was sent by God to do that. And so I'll simply begin with John 1 and 16, because 1:6, I should say. John 1:6, it clearly states who sent God, who was sent by God, and that man was John. John 1 and 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And John himself said that he was sent to baptize. He said the one that followed him was greater than he, and the one who followed him was the Lamb of God, who was to offer himself as a sacrificial lamb for our sins. When John looked across the Jordan, and two of his disciples who were with him and later followed Jesus, when Jesus looked across the Jordan, and when John looked across the Jordan and saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." They knew what that meant, because there had been millions of lambs that had been sacrificed. And here was the one that they all pictured, a man who came after John, that was to sacrifice and offer himself as the one-time lamb offering that would forever set us free from the bondage of sin and establish a permanent bond with God through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus walked a long way to be baptized. It was quite a ways, and you didn't travel back then except usually by foot. And Jesus traveled by foot all the way from Nazareth from Galilee down to Jordan. And Jordan, by walking, is about 50 miles more. Some people say it's as much as 75. But he walked it, and he came to this one lone, single, solitary man who had the authority. Only man on earth that had it. He came to John to be baptized of him. John was shocked, but John forbade him The messenger was sent for the authority to baptize. He baptized every one of the disciples before Jesus came to him. You'll find that in the book of Acts. They came forth repenting of their sins, were saved by belief that the Messiah was at hand, and they put their faith in the Messiah who was coming to deliver them, and then John baptized them. But John forbade him. He told Jesus, no. He said, I have need to be baptized of thee. John the Baptist freely admitted he was a sinful man. And here was the only perfect man who had ever lived, who was formed by God in the womb of the Virgin to become God's physical son and God's spiritual son, and yet he was asking John to baptize him. Baptism is important. It doesn't save you, but it's important that you be baptized by the one God designated to baptize you. And Jesus walked all that way to be baptized of John. And comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer, allow it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how was he going to fulfill all righteousness? He is my righteousness. He's the only righteousness I have. And it's complete and it's full. He's the only man who lived a perfect life without sin. He's the only man who loved the Lord his God with all his heart and all his mind and all his might and all his soul and his neighbor as himself. Nobody else ever has. And God could accept him as the living sacrifice for the sins of all who would put their faith in him. And what John did when he baptized him, he pictured to the whole world what this man was going to do. He was going to live a perfect life, keeping every jot and tittle of the law of Moses, God's standard of righteousness. Then he was going to die for our sins. Then he was going to be buried with our sins. And then he was going to be resurrected from the dead. He pictured in baptism what he was going to do to fulfill all righteousness. And hanging on the cross, he cried out, It is finished! Meaning it is finished in the past, in the present, and the future. And he had done enough to fulfill the righteousness of God, the only man who ever lived that was as righteous as God. And God has given me his righteousness because I was born without any. I was born a sinful, depraved man without any righteousness. And someone had to give me righteousness. And God, in order to be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus, when I put my faith in Jesus, God put him in me, and he put me in him. And there is an eternal spiritual bond by grace through faith that I have with Almighty God through the sacrifice of this man. Then he suffered. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. He wasn't sprinkled. He went down in the water, and he came straightway up out of it. You cannot picture a death, a burial, and a resurrection with sprinkling. No matter how hard you try, you can't do it. People say, well, it's just symbolic. It's symbolic of his life, his death, and his burial, and his resurrection. You're absolutely right. It is symbolic. But you are supposed to symbolize and picture what he did. And he had to go down into the water, and he had to come up from the water. And it's true, it doesn't say. But if you take away from that and don't picture what he did, you're not honoring Christ. And the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. How do you see a spirit? You don't. You ever watch a dove when it comes down? It flutters. If you've ever watched it on a morning when it's foggy, you'll notice there's a stirring of the air. A dove, when it settles down to the ground, it makes its nest on the ground. It tries to get on terra firma. And it flutters the air. As is a simile. John saw the air fluttering like a dove when it rustles its wings. And he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and lighting on him. The fluttering of the air settled on him. John 1, 32 through 34. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. What was that? The Bible says, For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Wasn't he God's son before his baptism? He most assuredly was. Did all the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily in him before he was baptized? Absolutely, according to what Paul wrote. So why did God do this? God wanted all men to see and to understand. This is my son. This is my stamp of approval on him. This is my approval that this is my son. And what had Jesus just done? He had obeyed his father. He knew why John was sent. And he came to John and walked all that distance. And God put his stamp of approval on him. God put his stamp of approval on Jesus because he had obeyed his command. And I knew him not, John said, but he that sent me to baptize with water. John was the man sent to baptize with water. Jesus obeyed his father and came to that one man. The same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. There is not one single solitary example in the entire Bible of anybody walking along, and all of a sudden they receive a majestic baptism and immersion in the Holy Spirit of a single individual. You will not find one single individual baptism in the Holy Spirit in the entire Bible. It does not exist. The immersion of the Holy Spirit and baptism of the Holy Spirit is a quite different thing from what many people believe. And people say, well, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. It happened to me at such and such a time. You may have had an emotional experience. You may actually believe that you have the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But you will not find one single solitary individual immersion in the Holy Spirit of God, baptism in the Spirit, in the entire Bible. It does not exist. It was always in a group, and it was always for a stamp of approval. How do you know who's telling the truth? Everybody claims to be. This happens to be a Missionary Baptist church. How do you know we're telling the truth? There are 27 different church buildings in and around this town. We can't all be telling the truth. Somebody's not telling the truth. You say, well, I know that you think you're telling the truth. Well, that's true. But that may not be the case. But I can tell you this. You better be in a church that teaches the truth. And it's an individual, personal thing that you better make up your own mind about. Because nobody else can. And if you let somebody else make up your mind about it, God's not going to accept that unless it's right. Acts 1, 4, and 5. Let's talk about this Spirit descending. Let's talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, 4, and 5. Jesus has already been resurrected from the dead. He has come back and he has made quite a few appearances to the disciples. Twice behind closed doors, the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, and to more than 300 at other times, according to the Scriptures. And now, here in the book of Acts, he's about ready to make his final departure. And he's about ready to make his final statement to them. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Notice what he said in John 1, 32, 34. Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and raineth on, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Notice what the one he repointed to, Jesus, said about it. He said, for John truly baptized with water, but ye, Emmaus, plural, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And here's when they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, the whole church. About 120, according to this passage in Acts. And suddenly there came a sound of heaven as a rushing mighty wind, like the fluttering of a dove's wings. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. It immersed all the people. The church is not the building. The church is made up of the people inside it. And the church is either approved by God as teaching the truth, or it is not God's church. And there appeared unto them even cloven tongues like of a fire, and it set on each of them. That is the immersion. That is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It came on that church. That's the first time it ever appears as having occurred. And it fell on about 120 at Pentecost, and the entire church was immersed. That's what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is. It's an immersion of a group of people that teach and preach the truth. God wanted to make sure that he put his stamp of approval on any kind of a church that could possibly exist. This was an all-Jewish church. There wasn't a single Gentile in it. They were all Jews. They had all followed Jesus. All those that followed Jesus and were with him for more than 3 years, the 12 disciples, had been baptized by John. After John's demise, Jesus gave the authority to baptize to that church. That was the first church. Jesus organized it during his earthly ministry. It was his flock. It was his local assembly. It was his ecclesia. It was his local church. And it followed him wherever he went. This is not when the church was born. This is when the church was empowered. The church was actually formed by the head, Jesus Christ, and the foundation of it, who led it for more than 3 years. And then at Pentecost, the whole body was immersed in the Holy Spirit of God. Now, baptism doesn't save, but it's very important to get it right. I wish I had been baptized right after I was first saved, but I'm a very stubborn man. I wanted to understand a lot of things about baptism. I wanted to know what it meant. And I waited, and I was wrong to do that. But at least I know what baptism is. Now let's take the second example in the Bible as to when people were immersed in the Holy Spirit of God. When a group of people, not an individual, each one of these individuals received the immersion in the Spirit, but they received it as a body. Not some individual thing where some man is walking down the street or where somebody prays through and gets it. It's always on a body of people in the Bible. So you have to make up your mind, do I believe what the Bible says, or do I live on my emotions and the fringe of it? But when they believed Peter preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, Philip went north, and he preached the gospel. And he came into a bunch of Samaritans. They were half Jew and half Gentile. So here's a group of people that the gospel is preached to that are half Jew and half Gentile. They're an assembly of people. Philip preaches to them. They hear the good news. They repent of their sins. They trust in Jesus. And they get saved. And they get baptized by water. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he was continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard, that's the first church. Jesus organized this church during his earthly ministry. It's now already been immersed with the Holy Spirit of God. He put his stamp of approval on it. It's an all-Jewish church. And the apostles which were at Jerusalem, members of that church, they heard that the Samaritans, who were half Jew and half Gentile, had received the word of God. They sent unto them Peter and John. Why did they send them up there? They wanted to put their blessings and say, God approved of this. They wanted to let these people know God gave the authority to the church, and they were the church. And they wanted to give their approval to these people. These people up to this time had not received the immersion in the Holy Spirit, because God wanted to show people something. And he made sure that this was in Scripture where you could understand it. God wanted his stamp of approval put on a church, from church to church to church. And he wanted it based on truth. Who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost didn't just fall on the whole bunch right off the bat after they were baptized. He waited until someone from that Jerusalem church came up there and said, yes, this is one of the Lord's churches. For as yet he has fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. All of them, a whole body of men and women, were at one time immersed in God's Spirit. There's no such thing as an individual baptism in the Holy Spirit. That is a myth that man has created that does not exist in the Bible. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is in a church that has a stamp of approval from God, that has continued down through the ages, and is still preaching the same thing that the first church that followed Jesus during his earthly ministry taught. Now we've looked at an all-Jewish church, and we've looked at a half-Jew, half-Gentile church. Now let's look at an all-Gentile church. Acts 10:47-48. God knew that under no circumstances would the Jews ever accept, ever under any circumstances, accept a Jew into their church. That the Jews would never accept a Gentile. Never. The Jews would never under any circumstances accept a Gentile into their church. And God knew it. So God had Peter have a vision about all those things the Jews continued to believe were unclean. At the same time, he had Cornelius have a man go down to see him. And God worked this all out. And then Peter came and preached to these Gentiles. And they believed. And once they believed, they were immersed in the Spirit of Almighty God. You say, well, why did he do that? Because he knew that they would never approve it with this group that came with Peter from the first Jerusalem church unless God gave them a direct, straightforward sign, and then he knew they would have to approve it. Peter asked this question. Can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. The first church, about 120, were immersed in the Spirit. That's the baptism, the immersion in the Spirit. The second group, Samaritans, half Jew, half Gentile, they were immersed in the Spirit. The third group, an all Gentile church, were immersed in the Spirit. I'm showing you every single case in the Bible of a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now let's take a look at Acts 19:19-1-7. Here's a group that got baptized by the wrong authority. There was a man named Apollos who was a Jew. He was in Jerusalem, and he was there when John the Baptist was preaching. Apollos came forward, repented of his sins, put his faith in the Messiah, and John baptized him. The only baptism that Apollos knew was John's baptism. Apollos was just as saved as I am. But Apollos went back to Alexandria, and he began to preach in all the synagogues that the Messiah was coming. Well, unbeknownst to Apollos, the Messiah came, suffered, bled, and died, and Apollos was over in Alexandria. He didn't know anything about it. And so he began to preach and go on up into Turkey, what we call Turkey today. It was Pangaea back then. And he began to preach, and people began to be saved. They believed the Messiah was coming. Apollos didn't even know he'd already suffered and bled and died. But he was preaching the Messiah. And those that believed him got saved, just like Apollos got saved. But John was dead. And the church had received the authority to baptize. And when Apollos baptized them, he only had the authority of John. And Jesus had already given the authority to the local church to baptize. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed to the upper coast and came to Ephesus. Apollos had gone across into Greece preaching it. Paul came up to Ephesus in what we call Turkey today, and he found some of Apollos' disciples. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. They didn't know anything about that. They didn't know the Messiah had already come. They didn't know he'd already suffered and bled and died. All those people before Jesus suffered and bled and died were saved by believing that God would send a Messiah. And they had their faith in that Messiah. And they were saved when they put their faith in that Messiah. These people had believed. Apollos, who had believed John. And they were saved. Notice what happened. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? They said unto John's baptism. They got baptized in water. But it didn't have the authority of God because John had long since died and the authority had been given to the local church. That's why it's so important to be baptized by a church that you know has the authority of God. If you think I'm trying to influence you to be baptized by this church, you're quite wrong. What I am influencing you to do is to make sure that the church that baptized you had the authority. If they don't preach and teach what was once delivered to the saints, you're gambling as to whether or not they had the authority. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying of the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And if they did, they got saved. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. You will not find one other case in the entire Bible of Holy Ghost baptism. It's an immersion of a body. Well, how do you get Holy Spirit baptism today? You receive it if it's in the church where you're baptized. So Paul said in Ephesus, and Paul preached in Ephesians. He said, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. I believe that God down through the ages has honored every one of his churches that has continued to preach precisely the same doctrine that you find in that New Testament that was once delivered to the saints. And I believe that anyone who is in one of those churches, when they are immersed and become a part of it, are in a body that has the stamp of approval from Jesus Christ. I'm 72 years old. I've studied the scriptures diligently. I've tried to be open and honest with myself and with God. All of us in this church are sinners, saved by grace, by the mercy of God. We're trying to preach and teach the truth of God, and we believe we have the authority to baptize because we believe that we are still preaching and teaching precisely what the Lord meant for us to preach and teach. We're far from perfect. As a matter of fact, we realize we're sinners saved in grace. But I believe this church has the authority to baptize. So when I baptize Kennedy Weber, I'll be baptizing her by the authority of this church. I don't baptize by my own authority. Yes, I'm ordained. Yes, I'm an ordained minister. But I don't have the authority to baptize. This church does, because it's one of the Lord's churches. So when I baptize her, it will be the church, by the church's authority, by this body that baptizes her, because this is Christ's body. He's the head of it. He's the foundation of it. We believe that we preach and teach his word. She gets baptized, she'll become a part of this body. And this body has an obligation to her, to love her, watch her grow up, pray for her. And as she grows up, she has an obligation to represent this church and to be the kind of a person that will bring honor and glory to it. She's one of the smartest little girls I've ever known. She's very pretty. She's a very wonderful little girl. I love her to death, even if she won't give a peck on her forehead. But I tell you, I'm very thankful that she was saved at camp. I'm very thankful she's come to know the Lord as her Savior. And I know that she's going to make a really good member. I'm very thankful for that. So it's 10 minutes to 7. And if we're going to finish by 7, someone needs to turn.